So we really should start saying, no hablo español, hablo muy mal portuñol. Okay? So sorry that we're going to have to do this in English. Maybe sometime in the future we'll be able to do it in Spanish. Thanks everyone for being here. I'd like to thank the guy from the organization. This event has been, it's an amazing event. I was really, really lucky to actually be here in Malaga in November last year when the event was just kind of starting the discussion. I came here, I visit the venue and everything with some people from the JUGS community. Thanks a lot. So congratulations for all the community here for making this happen. So I have here with me a very, very good friend, Otavio Santana. He is a Java champion. He is the committer of the Cassandra project. He's committer of OpenJDK. This is a guy that's actually is behind the scene of a lot of things that's going on. You know, so put your hands together to Otavio Santana.
Okay. Thanks, Bruno. And now it's me, basically the guy who founded the Java community, the JCP member, executive member. He's, everyone knows, as Brazilian Java man. The guy who helped a lot the community, the Java, everything that involved JVM, Bruno Souza.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. So we're going to talk here a little bit about how we can do some cool technologies to do a scalable application. But one interesting thing is that you've seen those guys, right? Like really big guys and doing all kinds of cool stuff. Very, very high scalability things and everything. You know, most of us are not like those guys, right? You know, those guys are like having hundreds of, sometimes hundreds of thousands of servers, and they spin all kinds of really crazy stuff. Netflix, for example, has this really, really crazy environment. You know, how many here do testing? You test your application, like you do performance testing in production. Yes, a few people do this, right? So Netflix goes a step beyond, right? Because they turn their production servers off all the time, right? They have this crazy monkey tool that just kind of goes along around their production servers, kind of disconnecting things and rerouting networking and destroying their own system, just so they are sure that the system is actually working, right? So yeah, we don't need to do those kind of things, right? We don't need to go as crazy. Now, Facebook is the largest content producer in the world. I mean, it's like crazy amount, crazy scalability problems, crazy things. We don't need to do those things. But those guys have one thing in common. What it is, Otavio?
Both use Cassandra as NoSQL database. These guys need more scalability. Need more. Performance, read and write really faster, and also need to retrieve information really faster because the user don't like to wait. Basically that.
So basically they're using the Cassandra database, so they're using something like, oops, this is not working anymore.
Okay, oops. Can I help you?
Yes, it's working, yes, okay. So those guys are using those two tools here, right? Those open source tools, Elasticsearch and Cassandra to do their thing, right? So the cool thing about those tools is that they are open source, and so you can use even if in your small project. I mean, even if you don't scale as much as those guys, you can use in your small project. I mean, if you have like your small startup that has five customers right now because you're just testing the technology, you can use Elasticsearch and Cassandra. If you have a large business, and you can also use those guys. And if you have a really, really large business like Netflix, Salesforce, or Facebook, you still can use those guys, right? So it's really good for you because you can actually use the very cool technology that those big guys are using on your own project.
Yeah, basically why the people mix all these technologies? Because Cassandra, write really faster, really, really faster, but basically it's really read information by IED information. So if you'd like to retrieve some information, look more about relevance information, search information. Maybe you have to do some engine searching from engine, something like that. So in this case here, we are looking for Elasticsearch.
Right, so basically we know we got a Cassandra is really fast to store and retrieve information, but you know it's really fast when it's retrieving by IDs, right? So if you want to do like a more sophisticated search, Elasticsearch is really good for you to do the sophisticated search, right? Yeah. So now, you know, there's another technology, another interesting technology that's CDI, right? So CDI can help you integrate those guys. How, Otavio?
Yeah, because CDI is the glue in Java EE. Basically, it was born in Java EE 6, and you can manage our resource just to use inject annotation. Actually, you don't need to care how this information become. Just use CDI, this guy can glue it, everything to you.
Right, so CDI can help you kind of, you know, connect to all of those different resources that you need to access without having to worry too much about, you know, creating the resources, deleting the resource, all of that. CDI can manage all of this to you, right? And then there's another, which CDI server are going to use?
Each CDI server? Anyone.
In the implementation, we're going to have a specific implementation using here.
You are using the reference implementation that is Wealth.
Okay, so yeah, so we can use Wealth to do this, and then, you know, our application that's being written with CDI, we're going to do two things. We're going to index the data on Elasticsearch, and we'll do store the data on Cassandra. Right? We're going to do this in the same transaction, right? So we're going to do both things at the same time to make it easy. And so that way we can have really, really fast storage on Cassandra, and we can search what we need using Elasticsearch.
Okay.
Okay? Then the other thing they're going to do is that, of course, this whole thing is all server-side stuff, and we need to access this somehow, right? So we're going to put a little REST interface in front of this, right? So you can actually connect this with anything. So Jersey is a REST implementation that runs on top on any Java EE application server, right? So we're just going to, you know, we're going to run receive any requests from REST. So it could be your JavaScript running on the browser, it could be a client application, it could be another server, it could be anything we want. Just going to access through Jersey, we're going to access our CDI code that will do the indexing and store in Cassandra and Elasticsearch.
Yeah, basically with REST API, can use any technology like JavaScript with AngularJS, jQuery, something like that.
Okay, so now, of course, those guys here run on top of Tomcat, Elasticsearch and Cassandra. They run on their own servers. We're going to show a little bit later how we can actually deploy those things using containers in a minute, right? But one interesting thing is this. Jersey is Java. Tomcat is Java. CDI is Java. Elasticsearch is Java. Cassandra is Java. So it's like, you know, something's not working, but, you know, Cassandra's Jalesk is Java, Cassandra's Java. So you know, it's like it can be like a full Java solution here. And we're just gonna show the code here, just very easy, right?
Yeah.
Okay, you wanna go ahead and talk about the code, Otavio, a little bit?
Let's do it.
Okay. So this is basically what we're gonna do, is gonna show a little bit how on CDI here, how we start things. And then there's two paths. Actually, they run the same transaction, but we're going to run the Cassandra side, and then we're going to run the GLask side, but actually they happen the same transaction, and then we're going to show some searches here just so you see how easy this thing is.
Yeah. Basically, we start with REST API. So we are using the JAX.js here. Basically, you have some method that put developer ATO that has some developer information, and basically start to search all information here. Okay, Bruno, go ahead.
All right,
so basically what you do here, we create a new event. This event is put information to another implementation. Basically take fire, the developer information, to two strategies here, okay? The first one is Cassandra. Basically, the CDI manages my session to me. If you can see here, I have the produce annotation, basically return the session, the transaction of Cassandra to me. This guy has application scope, and at the end, when the application is end, we have the dispose annotation. What this means? Basically, when the application is end, this guy closed the connection to me.
Okay, next one.
Okay, here you can see, I really don't need to care where the information comes. I just need to put the inject annotation, and it's done. It's working. Now here, I just follow the observe to follow this event here. Basically, I follow this event, return the information, put in Cassandra. That is it.
Okay, so that was the Cassandra side, and then we go to last search.
There's something happening in the last search side. I use the produce to return the client to me, and then at the end of the application, I use this post to close the connection. Okay?
Okay.
Something, I just use the inject annotation. I really don't care where this information comes. And done. Basically, I follow the event to I transform my information to a payload because I'd like to retrieve this information different way that I put in Cassandra because Elasticsearch is just to index information, not to store information, okay? So I create this new class here that is developer payload and then index all information there.
Okay, so once we do those two paths, so now we have the data in Cassandra, we have the index in Elasticsearch, so we can actually retrieve this information, right?
Yeah. This one is a really simple information here. Basically, I'm looking to developer, look to your salary. So I run this guy from REST API, and then,
okay. Oh, sorry.
Next one. It basically I run the query and the execute struct method basically retrieve the information for Cassandra because I search information indexed by Elasticsearch, figure out the ID and then retrieve all information for Cassandra. Okay.
Okay. So now one of the things that we're doing here is since we have like a Tomcat server and we have the two other servers. We can easily deploy those guys, right, on multiple containers, right? So a quick note about containers here. The biggest thing that we have right now in terms of cloud computing and even in terms of DevOps, right, is the whole notion of containers. I think that if there's one thing that you guys should be looking at, we've been, so me and Otavio, together with Edson Yanaga, we have been traveling Europe for the last 2 weeks, discussing with developers all over. You know, we've been in Germany and Switzerland and here in Spain. And the main discussion we're having is about career and how you can improve your career. And the one thing that really strikes out right now is understanding about containers, right? Containers changes the way that we deploy our application, but it changes the way that we develop our applications also. It makes all of the development process, all of our testing, and our deployment pipeline much more interesting. So and one interesting thing about containers is that we can easily encapsulate parts of our application in a container and put it to run on different providers. So today every major cloud provider supports containers, right? So basically what we're going to do here is that we're going to run Tomcat in a Docker container, right? And then we're gonna have Elasticsearch running another Docker container, and we're gonna have Cassandra running another Docker container. Of course, our example here is just kind of having one container for each one of those guys. But the whole idea is that this can be really, really scalable. You can start as many containers as you want from Cassandra, for example, or as many containers as you want for Elasticsearch. You can also start as many containers as you want for Tomcat, right? So basically, this simple solution that you saw with very, very little code, not very sophisticated, but in terms of how hard it is to build, it's extremely scalable. And one interesting thing is that once you start using containers, it's also very portable among multiple cloud providers. So we can actually have the same thing you can run. We're going to run here on Jalask. That's a Malaga-based company, right? So I think that's very fitting that we're going to run on Jalask. But you can run in any provider. So that's one of the cool things that we have in terms of containers.
Okay.
So, oh, I said Jalaska. Jalaska is fun. The funny thing is that the J in Jalaska is also Java, right? So, you want to show the demo here? You want to run the...
Okay, let's do it.
So, there's not much to see, really, right? But let me just kind of... can you see this? No.
Maybe put more zoom in.
Yes, let me just kind of...
Okay.
Okay. So let me just kind of we're just doing the REST application, right? So we're not there's not a fancy interface here. It's just kind of you show you could be calling this from JavaScript, for example, right? But let me just kind of just see what's the okay. So this just like a quick call REST call, right? That you've seen here. So you know you're just kind of send an application JSON here, and we send a JSON to our server, right? So this here, this BR Java Man guy who he is. You know, that's our Twitter. My Twitter, BR Java Man. Where's yes. Otavio's Twitter? Otavio Java Twitter. So you know, if you want to tweet to us anything, for example, you can use those Twitter. But you know, we are just sending here a JSON to our server, right? Once you send the JSON to our server, it's going to run to that code you already saw, and it's going to be stored in Cassandra, right?
Yeah.
And on the other hand, once you do this, we can just call, oops, where's my URL?
Oops, so oops. Basically, all information here is around the developers, guys. So we have the ID, that means the Twitter ID, the resume, random salary, and the name, and what information. What's gonna do? Basically, we will try from ID. That's really easy because you can use Cassandra. We find some, figure out some information from the resume that you need to use Elasticsearch to try information. Of course, you can use Cassandra to do it. You can use, for example, put more index in Cassandra. But what happens if I put index in Cassandra? Cassandra use Bloomfield implementation. If I use more index, Cassandra be more slower. So it's a problem to us. So we can use Elasticsearch to retrieve information, to aggregate information to us, because Cassandra really fast to read and write information, but have a problem when need to aggregate some information, for example, to put a report, okay?
So this is a REST call?
Yes, this one's REST call. Basically, here I do a get in my API, find two guys who has Java in your resume.
Oh, come on, we are not in the network here.
Oh,
that was bad.
Have no internet? Okay.
That was really
that's
bad.
That's the problem of the cloud. You need bad, internet here.
Bad demo. Okay, come on, let me turn. All right. Oh, tutorial, yes. 1 second, let me see. Forgot to put ourselves on the network. Okay. Yes. Okay, so come on, let's do it again. Right? Just a little bit like this. Okay. Okay. Right, so it just kind of returned this index, right? So that's the return that you got from everyone that knows Java. You're not here, Otavio, so that didn't work.
Yeah.
Yes, you are here. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Hopefully.
Okay.
Of course, it's a Elasticsearch. You can put more information. You can put more analyzers. You can put more mappings, mapping strategy. For example, n-grams. You can put, for example, SHA-stripper to retrieve some extract some information from PDF file, from HTML file, everything, okay? It's gonna be really easy to use Elasticsearch because you can use a kind of JSON to map all information. You can duplicate all foreign information, for example, you can retrieve information from a name, just ignore a case. You can use another the same name, just do not ignore the camel case, okay?
Okay.
Another example here is just I figure out these guys, the salaries are from these guys, and some and aggregated by currents. If you can see here,
it's the program. Currents right here?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the currents right here.
Yes. You can see here, the currents, taller, and 25 people. Maybe this guy needs to figure out a new job because it's so low, okay?
Right. Okay, so, and then, do you want to see the last one?
No, that's the last one.
Okay, that's the last one. All right, okay. So, let me get back here. Do you want to show the elastic?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have time? 2 minutes? No, 20 minutes. Okay.
Okay,
right.
We have time okay. A lot.
All right, that's good. Okay, so we're running good in time. So, go talk here. I'm just going to log in here.
Okay, I can tell some jokes.
No jokes.
Okay. Yes,
we're really bad at jokes, so don't do this.
Sorry, guys. But the one thing important here, because I can get more scalable stuff here, because I don't use cache, but I can put more cache, use Docker container. It's so easy. Another important stuff in Cassandra Elasticsearch is if I have one AP, I can retrieve another nodes with the same AP, because these guys use P2P to retrieve information. It uses a kind of gossip protocol. Basically, he used a broadcast to retrieve our old nodes.
Okay, is that the Otava test that you run?
Okay.
Yes. All right. So one of the cool things that we are using containers, so that's that we can actually have. So just seen here at the panel, this is my cluster at Gelastic. So you know I have. Let me just increase this here a little bit. Better like this, right? Okay. You know, so we have a cluster of servers running on Gelastic, right? And so each one of those guys is a container as we see here, and that the user Otavio has. And one interesting thing is that once we have the containers, we can actually manage them centralized. So all of those guys here are containers that are running on these environments. And you know, our production guys, you know, we developers, what we do is that we put our application inside the container, and we put the container up in the web. I mean, up in the server. And then our production guys, they can manage those environments any way they want, right? So they can stop, they can start, they can replicate, they can recreate those environments. So you know, they could migrate this environment to different servers. You know, I can just kind of click here and migrate this environment to a different server. So containers is a good way for us to actually pack our applications and make applications available easily in any provider. And one interesting thing is that once we have the application packed into a container, we can actually move those applications to different cloud environments. So yesterday we actually had a presentation specifically about containers, where we were migrating containers from Amazon AWS to Microsoft Azure, live, right? So actually we can even do the migration of those containers live between providers.
Okay.
Right, go back to your presentation here. Okay, so all of those guys were running different containers. As I said, they're running Gelastic. Now, one interesting thing is this is all Java-based, right? And one of the things that we both me and SoJava we run both me and Otavio we run SoJava. That's the Brazilian Javaism Society, where it's a Javaism group. And SoJava is on the executive committee of the JCP, where the Java standards are defined, right? And so it's really nice to know that all of these things, you know, Tomcat is an implementation of a Java standard. The Java EE standard implements several standards of Java. Jersey is an implementation of a Java E standard also, you know, for REST access. CDI is also an there are several implementations that are using for CDI. I forgot the name again. Which one are you using here?
Welch.
Welch, thanks. So Welch, you know, Welch is an implementation of CDI that's a Java EE standard. The good thing about you using standards is that you're not tied, you know, I'm just saying those guys that we use it are one implementation of the standard. But you know, you could use IBM implementations or Oracle implementations or any other thing that, you know, any other provider that you want, because their standards, those technologies gonna last for a long time. The fact that they are open source, they can appeal for your project of any size. But if at some point, you know, you want kind of to hire support or to hire a company to actually to buy a product from a company, you also have the option, because all of those guys here have both open source and proprietary implementations. You have implementations with no support, you have implementations with support, you have a host of choice here. Now the one interesting thing is that we're here doing NoSQL, right? And Otavio, I don't think there is a standard for NoSQL, right?
Yes, unfortunately, no. It's a problem because if I'd like to move Cassandra to another column family like Google Data Store or DynamoDB, I have to move all my code. It's really a problem to me because I have a lock-in here.
Right. It's the one thing that we do, that our companies do, that's really, really important, is all the code that we write, right? So all our knowledge is kind of embedded in the code that we write. But if every time that we need to, if our provider doesn't support us for any reason, and you need to prove or to move providers or need to do something like this, then if you need to rewrite all of our application, that's a problem, right? So yeah. We all use it here on when you have the SQL databases.
Yes, there's another problem.
You can just change the driver, and you you can move your application from one database to the aux, but that's not true in the NoSQL world, right?
Yeah, there's another problem, because if I'd like to move Cassandra to the something of NoSQL database, I need to learn another API. It's not the same, that's the point. It's a huge problem. You have lock-in problem, you have to move too much code, and also I need to learn a new API
right.
To do exactly the same stuff.
Okay, so Otavio, what is the big idea here?
Oh, maybe you can create a standard to do it.
Right. So we are not right now working on with the JCP, working on, and you know, there's lots of people involved. It has not been proposed yet, but there's several people from different big data, NoSQL database that are working together with SoJava, with Otavio, and lots of us to actually start the discussion of defining a common API that we can standardize it on the Java world, and then we can actually have standard and open source based solution for all of that.
Yeah, sure. Also, we have support to CDI too. It'll be easier to use CDI with NoSQL database. Finally, integration with Beam Validator, integration with another part of PFOS of Java EE. So that is it.
And if you want to be part of this, there's very cool news that we're bringing this like very firsthand, because 2 weeks ago, me and Otavio were part of the JCP Executive Committee meeting in Germany, in Berlin. And at that meeting, it was decided that to finally release the specification that SoJava has been working very hard for the last couple of years to make it happen. That is to make really easy for developers to join the JCP. Before 2 weeks ago, to join JCP, you had to get your company to accept this really, really big, like several pages document, very scary, and it was very hard to get your boss to approve this kind of thing. But now we have what we call the associate membership at the JCP. It's very easy. It's a very simple document. Your boss doesn't need to sign. Compromising any of the IP of your company if you do this. It's very, very easy. So we're going to invite you guys to join the JCP. If you go to jcp.org and sign up as an associate, it's completely free and gets you access to everything that happens on the Java standard word, and you can participate on the specification. You can actually participate on this specification that we're going to start. It's very simple. It's an online form that you sign online, and so we'd like to invite you to join. Now, and especially if you join now, in September, we're going to have elections for the JCP, and you're going to be able to vote on these elections, right? So, and actually specifically, and so you can really participate and influence the future of Java.
Okay.
Okay? So guys, thanks very much. That's our Twitter accounts again. We're going to be here for the rest of the day. And if there's anything that we can help you with or there's anything that we can answer, we're here available. I don't think we have any time for anything. Maybe you do. Oh, we have t-shirts.
Yeah.
Cool. So we have time for t-shirts at least? Yes? Good. All right. This is the best part. Right? That's what you were asking for. I forgot to mention that we're going to have t-shirts. So you actually stayed, not because we... So this is t-shirt. Oh, that's Tommy Tribe. Yes, Tommy Tribe is a Java EE. You see the Tomcat that we are showing over there? So Tommy Tribe is a Java EE. It's a full Java EE compliant server based on Tomcat. The problem is that if I throw the t-shirt here, only those that guy's going to get. Right? Yeah, okay. That girl right there. Awesome. Okay, no, that's not going to work, Otavio. I think we gotta go.
Okay.
We gotta go here, right? All right.
Okay, Bruno.
Time out.
Oh.
Wait, what? Oh, don't move past that. Okay. All right, so let me go here and start throwing t-shirts. Come on, everyone is standing up, right? Shoot, I'm gonna destroy this. Right. Come on. How about you hold this?
Yeah.
Yes. How about you hold this before I destroy it?
All right. We're gonna throw more later. All right. We have a lot of shirt here, Bruno.
Okay. Oh. Yeah. Oh, this is good. These are good to throw because this has flask in it. All right. These are the last. Oh. Excellent. I'll tell you what. Those are all
women's t-shirts, so we don't have a lot of women. Okay. All right. Okay. Now this, I think those are. Omeo? What? Can I help you? Whoa!
Okay, so those guys are here. Okay. Okay. That's it. Okay, if I didn't destroy the microphone, I'd like to thank you for your participation. You're going to be here until later. Thanks a lot. Thank you. Thank you.